Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
Victory Football Friday. No matter how much the plate is piled up, there's always room.
Around here. Damn, it feels good.
Eat a W. You can always eat that W. John Lopez. And the story of the day yesterday. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. The story of the day yesterday with the Texans defeating the Detroit Lions. Kahale Waring played an offensive snap.
Well, no. No, that's not the story, but he did play a snap. The story is just snowballing into something incredibly special. Yes, shout out to Kahale Waring for showing that he has a pulse.
He does exist.
It's not, a figment of your imagination. It's not an urban myth, if you will. He does exist. But the story is Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't want to just, beat an old drum here, but my goodness, this guy, he's putting forth an MVP case?
Come on.
Watson!
Come on.
That boy is good.
Define most valuable player.
Come on.
Define most valuable player.
Player from a winning team.
That's how some people define it. And I'm glad you
said
that.
Starting this off with an MVP discussion on Deshaun Watson. I did not know this is where we were going today.
I wanted to spring that one on you. Because if you define MVP, winning team, success of everyone around them, then, yeah, it's not Deshaun Watson. It's absolutely not. But if you define it, the most valuable player to your team, unquestioned, does more by himself to lift a team than he's wedging. I'm not saying he's there yet, but he's wedging his way into the discussion.
What are we doing right now? We're talking about this. Figgy, what are we doing right now?
We are talking about. Figgy, do you disagree?
This is what we're working on Black Friday for, so John Lopez can call Deshaun Watson the MVP. This is what we're doing here.
I said he's wedging his way into the discussion.
I mean, we're looking around here. We got all the sacrifices being made. Sean Pendergast is about to do a few more hours filling in for Jim Rome. He did pre and post.
Yeah.
Worked all week.
Yeah.
Seth Payne working from home. I drove in last night. All this sacrifice being made.
Yep.
And we made this sacrifice so that John Lopez could come in here at 10:03 on November 27th, a Friday, and say that Deshaun Watson is playing MVP football. What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing is wrong with me. I think I have this thing all figured out. He probably won't. In fact, he won't win the MVP. He's not on a winning team. In fact, this team you know, while they're getting closer by the week in the last couple of weeks, will not be a winning team. But it's, if you define it a certain way, his just numbers alone, but forget numbers. I mean, just what he's doing for this team is beyond incredible. I mean, you know, I've turned into just an absolute Deshaun junkie, man, fanboy, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I've seen a lot of quarterbacking in my time, and this dude has just got something special going on. It wasn't even a shout out to J.J. Watt for kind of turning the tide a little bit early, but it was never going to be anything but a Texans win because of how Deshaun was playing.
I think Deshaun is taking it up a notch, which is interesting, because when you fire King Bill, and none of us think Tim Kelly is the next Bill Walsh by any stretch of the imagination. None of us do.
Right.
But we've always wondered, you know, what would Deshaun Watson be like in this situation? If Deshaun Watson had fill in the blank, what would his situation look like instead of having the worst GM in the history of the NFL and a very, very meh coach, if you actually look at the gray area of what happened? We always wonder, what would it be like? It is encouraging. It is astonishing. It is something that I didn't expect to feel and see what I'm seeing right now with Deshaun Watson, that just Bill O'Brien leaving the building will allow him to play this way.
Right.
It's pretty remarkable that he's still playing for an offensive coordinator that is meh. He's playing for a 73-year-old head coach who about a decade and a half ago was already established as a failed NFL head coach. And he's out there balling like this. And Romo and Nance kept talking about the schedule and how the schedule's different. There have been a lot of quarterbacks that have still looked good against the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Vikings.
Sure.
Texans could have still lost those games, but Deshaun Watson did not look great in those first four games. And now all of a sudden he looks like a completely different guy. And it's as simple as the guy with the butt chin had to leave the building.
Yeah.
That's all you needed was him to leave the building. And now I sit here looking at this, John, and I know you're drunk on Watson's success, but I sit here and I look at this and I say, dude, this is going to get even better next year because you're going to bring in a guy who actually knows what he's doing. You're going to bring in an offensive guy or maybe an offensive mind, whether it's the coordinator or whether it's the head coach, who's main objective is to maximize Deshaun Watson. And as good as this is, and I agree with you, he's playing some good ball. I'm not going to throw out the three letters MVP. But as good as this is, I find myself watching this and saying, damn, he's already looking better because the king left, and it's only going to get better. The best is yet to come. That's the most encouraging thing about this.
Yeah, no question about it. And to be clear, I'm saying he's wedging his way into the discussion. I don't think he will be MVP because too many people define it the way you do. You know, you make the playoffs, you carry your team to more wins than you had the year before, and you're playing that kind of ball. But let me ask you this, because I we were talking about this before the show. How many quarterbacks right now? This is a good way to talk about it. All right, notwithstanding supporting casts, let's just say you could put the same supporting cast around Deshaun Watson as all the great quarterbacks in the NFL. How many would you take over Deshaun with the exact same good supporting cast around him?
With what he has right now with the Texans?
No. I'm saying just let's take the Chiefs supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let's just use that as an example. How many quarterbacks would you plug in and have into that cast and have more success than Deshaun Watson? I can think of two, maybe three. That's it.
Mahomes for sure.
Yep.
Rodgers, yep. I think you have to put up there.
That's my other one.
Russell Wilson.
I was going to say Breeze, just because of his intellect and the way he can put the ball wherever he wants. And if he has that many weapons, Breeze, we already know what he does with Kamara.
I would say Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson would be mine.
Okay. But that's my point. Those are MVP candidates. I mean, those are perennial MVP candidates. So I'm not saying he's there. What I'm saying is he's playing that kind of football, and he's wedging his way into the discussion.
No, he's not. They're not going to be discussing Deshaun Watson as MVP.
Okay. Mark that, Figgy. Mark it.
They're not doing that.
Mark it. If he keeps doing this and they go 8-8, 9-7.
Could I interest you in a stat?
Yes, please.
By the way?
Yes, please.
In his last six games, Deshaun Watson has 14 touchdown passes and zero interceptions.
Go figure.
Is that good?
Numbers are hot.
He is 141 of 200. He's completing 70.5% of his passes, mm-hmm. 1,750 yards, 16 total touchdowns, mm-hmm. zero turnovers over the course of that time.
I mean, what else is that? But an MVP candidate, I should say.
You're not going to get co-signers today, are you? There's still people
They're all over the text board already.
There's still people drunk from Thanksgiving. 713-572-4610. Tony, welcome to In the Loop on Football Friday. I got a feeling you're still drunk from last night. Go ahead and co-sign Lopez.
Don't say that. I'm drunk from the truck right now. You can't say I'm drunk.
Dump that, Figgy.
Yeah. How is it different? How is John saying that Deshaun can be MVP, which he is MVP material, then you at 1-6 telling us that we still gonna have we be able to go to the playoffs?
There you go.
Level of optimism is the same, and you cannot shoot John down. You can't shoot him down because you had that same optimism. Oh. And deep down in my heart and soul of souls, I still think we can go.
Oh wow. Tony, my gosh, Tony! Hey, just don't blow
it's a great
that
point.
Breathalyzer.
I think
in that truck, Tony.
I think your point about the Texans, your optimism about the Texans making the playoffs, is more optimistic.
But what did I say? I'm glad you mentioned that because I don't like patting myself on the back too much, although I do. I think that's why I got long arms. But honestly, what did I say about that Cleveland game? What did I say? I said this Cleveland game will be a swing game because mm-hmm. this team could win four games in a row. We're going to look back at that Cleveland game, and we're going to wonder what could have been. Yeah. And I'll be damned if they did not lose that. If they would have won that Cleveland game, or God forbid they win that Tennessee game, they mm-hmm. convert that two-point conversion, and then on that 4th-and-2 against Cleveland, they get in the end zone, mm-hmm. we're talking about a 500 ball club.
Yeah.
We're talking about a 500 ball club. We are talking about a 500 ball club.
But what I'm saying is your optimism before those games about the playoffs is more optimistic than me right now about him and the MVP.
I'll agree with you. If the Texans make the playoffs this year, if something crazy happens and the Texans run the table, he's the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no questions asked.
No.
He's the MVP. I won't even question that.
Mm-hmm.
But this team, let's say they lose a couple. Let's say they finish 8-8. Let's say they even get hot and go 8-8. He ain't going to win the MVP.
I don't think he is anyway. What I'm saying is, if you're not noticing that he is a candidate just the way he's playing, the last six games alone, that's.
I mean, he's getting shout outs from Pat Mahomes during the game.
Yeah, that was big time.
Deshaun Watson is special. Like, he's getting the shout outs. Mm-hmm. People are recognizing.
Mm-hmm.
But the MVP, let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on Football Friday. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something about O'Brien leaving the building. O'Brien wasn't a motivator. He was a demotivator.
Yep.
You know, when a young player made a mistake, O'Brien would chastise him and blackball him, and he couldn't play. A good coach would send the young man back out there when he makes a mistake. So, of course, when O'Brien left, everybody had a release of pressure. And now they're playing looser with intensity. And, you know, it was just obvious that things were going to get better when somebody, a dictator, would leave.
100%. I agree with you. I agree with you, Bob. That's a good Bob right there. Not a bad B.O.B. That's a good Bob there. And that was another thing that I had satisfaction in watching yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite the fact Butt Chin is at home watching these games,
right?
Despite the fact that he's like basically just like thinks that he's wiped his hands clean of this situation at
mm-hmm.
0-4,
mm-hmm.
his stock's plummeting as a future coach.
Huge.
His stock is plummeting because Deshaun Watson, since he left, has elevated his play.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach on the opposing sidelines, the idiot with a pencil with a laminated play sheet, is pretty much a Bill O'Brien.
He's awful.
That is the same. They are the same guy, except Bill O'Brien had a little bit more talent. And early on, he was in a worse division, so he was able to have that early success. But make no mistake about it. Deshaun's playing better because B.O.B. isn't there. And although B.O.B. wasn't there, his presence was pretty much there in the form of a fat ass with a beard and a pencil on his ear with a laminated play sheet.
If you put Bill O'Brien in Detroit, they would be a better team than what Matt Patricia is doing. That's how bad Matt Patricia is.
And they're the same guy.
Pretty much.
Football Friday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Figgy Fig with you. Deshaun Watson, he's played the high road for a long, long time, but yesterday he finally called out King Bill O'Brien. And speaking of King Bill O'Brien, let's hear from the Detroit version of him. This is going to be amusing, I promise you. Football Friday continues next.
My boy, D-White, in the Bentley truck. Oh, yeah. I see you, boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Man, Texans were all over the Lions the entire game yesterday. We said we wanted J.J. Watts to shine. We wanted Deshaun to shine. We got it both. We got a pick six from J.J., and we got Deshaun Watson. Four touchdown passes. Easily could have been six. Five turnovers forced heading into the game, mm-hmm. And you have three straight early on in the first half. You take a lead like that into halftime, man. You got to feel really good about yourself. The Texans haven't been very good at halftime adjustments, but it was just a total assing from the second quarter all the way to the start of the fourth. Total assing, man.
It was. It absolutely was. They had that lead early. There was sloppy play, and then JJ turned it around. But you get that two-score lead, you're feeling pretty good, right? You're feeling pretty good about it, for sure.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
By the way, somebody here predicted four touchdown passes for Deshaun Watson.
That'd be you.
Somebody here predicted a final score of 41-17.
That'd be you.
Yep. That was it was on, man. I was feeling it.
It was absolutely on. Here was Deshaun Watson after the game, calling out Bill O'Brien. He was asked about Romeo Crennel. We wondered when Deshaun Watson would actually kind of show what King Bill was about, because J.J. Watt has, Randall Cobb has, a lot of guys have. Deshaun Watson finally did what we've been asking for.
Hey, just letting us play ball, letting the coaches, you know, do what they do, let them call the plays and not interfere with that, you know, and just let us, you know, go out there and just try to make plays as much as we can. And that's the point of the game. Of course, we want to, you know, make sure we're, you know, being conservative in some certain spots, but at the same time, hey, we got to go out there and put up points and let our guys, you know, let the talent, you know, take over. So that's what they've been doing.
Look at that.
If you're able to take a two-score lead into halftime, then odds are you got a much better chance of winning that.
That's a good point, Clint. Mm-hmm. That's a very. If you do have a two-score lead, you have a better chance
it.
To win than if
I'd rather don't. Have that than not a two-score lead.
Very much.
Nobody's talking about Guy.
But Deshaun calling out B.O.B., your thoughts?
I thought that was a direct hit. I mean, it wasn't even really veiled that much. He tried, but I think everybody knew exactly what he was talking about, saying, man, go figure, they're letting us play. They're letting us do things. How about that little, it wasn't a flea flicker, it was like a throwback.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. You know, we kind of had our fingers crossed that Tim Kelly, without Bill O'Brien in the building, would, you know, spread his wings a little bit and maybe do some things that B.O.B. would have nixed, you know, from the sideline with his headset on. And it took a while, but the last 2-3 weeks, yeah. I think Jim Kelly's been doing a little bit
more. I think absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just look at that flea flicker. Here's Mark Vandermeer with the call. I got a feeling that Andre Ware liked it.
Oh, listen to the noises.
But here is the flea flicker that you're talking about, where Duke Johnson runs to the right. Duke Johnson throws it back. Deshaun Watson catches. He finds Big Willie style on the sideline. Touchdown, Texans.
First down at the Detroit 34. A handoff to Duke running to the right. And he's going to throw it back to Deshaun, looking and firing left side. And Fuller walks across the 10-5 and jumps into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston.
He wants some creativity. There it is.
Who's laughing?
Is that John Harris?
There's a lot of giddiness.
Working a jugs machine.
And honestly, that's something kind of unconventional that we saw. But there was also some conventional creativity from Tim Kelly yesterday with Duke Johnson running the wheel route, then flashing that grill as he ran through the tunnel, Bo Jackson style.
First and 20 at the Detroit 33-yard line. Deshaun looks it over. Detroit showing blitz. Here's the snap. Watson firing deep down the left side and got a man, Duke. He's in. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
Remember one other thing we talked about Friday? I know I mentioned it, you know, as maybe the only hope that the Lions would have is playing these guys man-to-man, you know, not respecting the Texans' run and doing it that way. It backfired. They did a lot, and it backfired big time because their safety was out of position on every freaking play. They were just a bad coach team.
I mean,
they had
two corners out. They had all kinds of receivers, and their running back, DeAndre Swift, out. So, you know, nobody's going to sit here and mistake Detroit as being a good football team. But you blow someone out like that at home at their place on Thanksgiving, it's nothing to roll your eyes about.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody's going to mistake Detroit as a good football team. I don't think anyone's going to mistake Tim Kelly as a good offensive coordinator. Although he is getting better, he's not Bill Walsh. But if I'm Tim Kelly, make no mistake about it. If Tim Kelly hadn't followed Bill O'Brien around for 10 years, he probably wouldn't have been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Or he wasn't qualified to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL when he was handed that title. His only qualification was following around a guy who sucked offensively here for 6 years. But if I'm Tim Kelly, regardless of what his next step is and regardless of what his next opportunity is going to be, he needs to get as far away from Bill O'Brien as possible. Even if that means going and working in college, like let's say, God forbid, somebody makes Bill O'Brien an NFL head coach, Tim Kelly needs to get as far away from him as possible and continue to expand his wings. Because 100%. I don't know what his upside is. I don't know what Tim Kelly is going to be, but he's much better as an offensive coordinator without Bill O'Brien than he was. And if that's because Bill O'Brien was calling plays and not letting Tim Kelly do his job like Deshaun Watson just hinted at, that speaks just as many volumes because B.O.B. didn't believe in him. So, Tim Kelly, I know we call you mini-me. I know I call you a B.O.B. twig. You need to almost file a restraining order against Bill O'Brien and never get within 100 feet of that man again, because you're much better at doing what you do.
You're showing it a little bit
than you
anyway.
Were without him.
I would put it this way, Tim Kelly has done a lot more for his future than Bill O'Brien is it's even possible for Bill O'Brien to do. Tim Kelly is helping his next stop, if there is one in the NFL or wherever it might be. But no, he's not. I mean, look, he's not Andy Reid, but he's doing things that certainly are making the most from this offense. And by the way, I think I would call that more of a throwback. A flea flicker is when you hand it off and the guy stops, turns around, and pitches it back to the quarterback. To me, that's a flea flicker. That was more like a throwback option or whatever, pass.
Yeah, it wasn't a flea flicker. It was an interesting play design. I think he deserves a lot of credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Patricia, I don't see how he still has a job right now. He's kind of one of those Bill O'Brien types. Mm-hmm. Basically thinks he invented football because he worked for Bill Belichick. Listen to Matt Patricia after the game with the media types and tell me this doesn't sound a little bit familiar from what we experienced for 6+ years here in H-Town.
We got to do a better job and we know that. We got to go play better. You know, we'll just take a couple questions and kind of go from there.
What is the level of frustration?
You know, we just got to stay firm and we got to keep pushing. Give Houston credit. You know, they played better than we did today.
Do you expect to be coaching this team next week?
Yeah, I mean, again, I focus one day at a time. That hasn't changed. So we'll focus on today and go from there.
Why, this is really 2 3/4 seasons now, and you have more losses than your predecessor who had it over 4 seasons. Why hasn't this worked?
Yeah, you know, just focused on right now.
Romeo Crennel really kept the foot on the pedal there toward the end with the trick play. Did you say anything to him after the game? Obviously, you know him so well. Of like, hey, what's up with that? Or you kind of just say, okay, whatever.
No, I said, happy Thanksgiving. Send love to your family from my family.
What is your thoughts, concerns about your job moving forward the rest of the season?
It is what it is. And, you know, so, all right. Dave, you okay there, Dave? Just mute yourself there. But that's really it, Justin.
We lost you for most of that answer, but appreciate it, Matt.
Yep.
Dave?
Yeah, Matt, we did not hear any of that answer, so I'm just going to re-ask that, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Just watch the background. I thought I heard an F-bomb in there, so just be careful with your mic.
Oh, my gosh, that is that makes me actually feel good that we don't have to mess with that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's very, very nice
with the Zoom.
Not to deal with that. We don't have to mess with the Zoom with King Bill, and I think that's why the Texans are starting to win. Ball games. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. John Lopez started off the show talking MVP with Deshaun Watson.
Yes, I did. I'm
know
here
what
for
was
it.
Going on there. It was very interesting how we got started on
you
this reaction Monday.
On. You know what's going on? I feel like you're like a week or two away from coaching.
If they beat the Colts, then I'll say something.
Yeah.
Okay. If they beat the Colts 9 days from now, a very good Indianapolis defense, if they beat the Colts, I'll start entertaining what you got to say.
He just makes the most difficult plays easy. And nobody here is predicting it. I'm just saying he's in the conversation.
Coming up, Deshaun had a good game, but he is not satisfied. Plus, 2020 might seem lost to many, but there's some stuff to build on that was on display yesterday. Football Friday continues next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
First down Detroit from the Lions 25-yard line as Marvin Jones goes in motion to the left. Stafford back to throw. And he dumps it off. It's picked off by JJ across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. What? Pick six.
This is from Ross Tucker yesterday. I usually like Ross Tucker's analysis, but this is what Ross Tucker had to say. I don't know if he was wearing a Captain Obvious hat when he said it or what, but Ross Tucker said, I don't think people realize how great J.J. Watt's career has been. Undoubtedly a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
It's not a secret anymore.
Everyone's talking about it.
Everyone is talking. You know what? They've been talking about it for about 5 years, 6 years, something like that.
I don't think people realize J.J. Watt's had a pretty good career.
He would be a Hall of Famer one day.
Courtesy of Ross Tucker. There's some encouraging things going on with this Texans team, and it has nothing really to do with 2020, but it has to do with 2021. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen some guys stick out that I think can be pieces next year and significant pieces as the Texans try to get back to that spot of competing for playoff spots and trying to win playoff games. Deshaun Watson is the obvious one. Deshaun Watson's becoming a better quarterback this year in front of our very eyes. The team's not playing well, but Deshaun Watson's putting on a performance that if he had better surroundings...
Say it.
He would be in the MVP discussion, but he doesn't, so he isn't.
Sing it.
I hate you for this song.
You hate it because it's right.
Deshaun's obvious. Will Fuller, who, by the way, every catch he had yesterday, could I interest you in a stat?
Yes, please.
Move the chains.
Yeah.
First numbers down catch are hot.
On everything that Will Fuller made. Will Fuller is going to be Deshaun Watson's number one receiver during the prime of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So as Deshaun Watson gets better, and when we look back and say this was the prime of Deshaun Watson's career, number 15 is going to be the guy catching those pills.
It's his guy. I mean, there's no question. We've known it. We knew it going into yesterday, but clearly that is his guy. Let me interest you in a stat that goes together with that, because Deshaun Watson twice yesterday faced a third or a second and 20-plus yards. Two times he faced second and more than 20 or third and more than 20. He completed both those passes for more than 60 yards and a touchdown. He just makes plays that are important, and that is, you know, that's an incredible stat. And then I think both of those are one of them for sure. One went to Stills, went to Fuller. I mean, that's his guy.
He has his number one receiver.
Yeah.
That's valuable for 2021. I think Brandon Cooks is his number two. I think they're probably going to restructure it, but I think what we're seeing from Brandon Cooks is going to be that number two moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Those are valuable pieces. And the tight ends, I know Jordan Akins probably should have had a couple TDs yesterday. I think you have to feel good about that moving forward. So there's that. Valuable stuff going on the field yesterday that you can carry into 2021. Defensively, and I think this is where you really have to be encouraged, because I think this is the side of the ball that needs the most help for the Houston Texans. Defensively, Zach Cunningham still leads the league in tackles. He continues to look like a guy that's is going to be maybe the best player on this defense moving forward. You have to be encouraged by that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he's not alone. There were a couple of others that were showing yesterday out of nowhere.
If you decide not to trade him, J.J. Watt right now looks like elite J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm. Four passes deflected last week and then the pick six this week. If you just keep J.J. Watt for the final year of that deal, then I think that's a beyond valuable piece in 2021, especially if you put some guys in there that can help him out.
I still continue to believe that he's going to be traded at the end of the year just for the sake of the grand picture here. But I'm telling you, the way they're playing right now, and if they continue to do so, he might start thinking, you know, if they can convince me and they can show me that they're going to bring in some pieces, maybe I'll hang for another year.
Tyrell Adams.
There's the one I was talking about.
Two forced fumbles yesterday. He was actually the first player in a long time to force two fumbles and have 10 tackles. That was at halftime.
Yeah.
Finishes the game with 17 tackles, two forced fumbles. Tyrell Adams and Zach Cunningham, the middle of that linebacking core, you have to feel good about that next year and moving forward.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of the most pleasant, one of two most pleasant surprises yesterday. On the defensive side, Tyrell Adams, and the other one was Justin Reed with another backed-it-up game. He backed it up the last time with another big game, including plays in the backfield that helped, if not change the game, certainly solidify the outcome.
I'm glad you mentioned that because Justin Reed mm-hmm. is another guy. Justin Reed having a very, 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 very good last couple weeks. He got a sack for the second straight week. He had that fourth down stop. Should have had an interception, but he was getting a little bit greedy thinking about getting up with it. But Justin Reed, another guy who in 2021, which will be the final year of that rookie deal, you feel good about moving forward.
Big time. He was struggling early in the year. I'm also wondering, and maybe this is just the bias I have, I think well-deserved bias I have against Bill O'Brien. I'm wondering if what we're seeing with Tim Kelly kind of being more himself on play calling has also affected Anthony Weaver a little bit. And he's able to kind of let some guys, cut some guys loose, especially guys like Tyrell Adams, who you know Bill O'Brien was like, yeah, I don't want that guy on the field. He's a little small, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because Bill O'Brien, even though he was an offensive guy, clearly had his hands on everything. He was the I got this guy and maybe kind of dictated some of the things, especially personnel-wise, that Anthony Weaver was doing.
Weaves done. I mean, let's be fair though. The Lions had a lot of guys out.
No, the Lions were really bad. That's a bad, bad team.
But I think Weave has done a good job. And I mean, as soon as he got intense again, I think the biggest test for this Colts team. I mean, this Texans team is going to be when they face the Colts two Sundays from now. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the test. That's going to be is this team really just that much better? Because regardless of what happens between the Colts and Titans Sunday in Indianapolis, That's a damn good team. That's a damn good defense. It's going to be a very, very legit test for the Texans physically on both sides of the rock.
It's going to be a lot better than what they faced yesterday, that's for sure. I think it's the best defense in the league.
Now, that's the good news. You want to get to the bad news?
Let's do it.
Lonnie Johnson. Are these growing pains, or is this just going to be a tweener that's not going to quite figure it out? Because Lonnie Johnson looks lost at safety. And I know a couple weeks ago, when Aaron Wilson wondered where he was supposed to be, Lonnie Johnson gave a coverage breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't seen the coverage breakdown via Twitter on that TJ Hawkinson busted coverage. So I'm still awaiting that on Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie Johnson looks like a tweener.
He is. And I think he's been miscast and was probably drafted too high. I think Lonnie Johnson might have a place in the NFL. But he's not a second-round pick because they brought him in at cornerback, and he's not a cornerback. They moved him within a year to safety, and now he's struggling at safety. There's a place for him on some NFL team, but not as a starting safety, you know, and maybe develop him or whatever. But when you have a second-round pick, you're going to play him early.
I've been asking this for a while. I think Tony Romo was asking the exact same thing yesterday. What the bleep is an Eric Murray?
Yeah. We know that one. I mean, that we're not breaking any news on that one. I mean, he shouldn't even be on the team. And that ties in with J.J. Watt. If you can convince him with these other pieces that you're able to bring in some actual talent on the defensive side, that's at a higher level, maybe he can start thinking about wanting to stay.
Maybe.
Eric Murray is not it.
Eric Murray ain't it.
Yeah.
Bradley Roby's been good, though. I think you got to give Roby some credit. Roby's been... All right. Contained Marvin Jones yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did very well there. But there are some pieces that you have moving forward. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Do you feel for Detroit fans having to watch that yesterday? Because we've been in that situation But Deshaun has kind of been the guy who saved all butts the last couple years. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford at this point in his career, and I don't think ever, was a guy like Deshaun Watson who could overcome flaws and warts on a team. I found myself really feeling sorry mm-hmm. for Lions fans basically having to endure one of those guys off the Bill Belichick coaching tree that thinks they invented football, yet you watch your team mm-hmm. poorly coached, terrible challenges. Do you find yourself kind of feeling sorry for Lions fans?
I always feel sorry for teams that are, not if they have a losing record, but teams that consistently have struggled. The Browns, that's why I'm kind of, you know, a closet Browns fan this year now that they're having success and their game with the Texans is past. I hope they, you know, I hope their fans can experience something. Same thing with the Lions. You know, a lot of the Jets, I don't have any, you know, vested interest in them. I just feel bad for fan bases that have to struggle year after year after year. But they need to, dude, they need to fire him today. He's lost, and he's lost the team, which is even worse. And I don't even know if he, I mean, he doesn't even seem engaged on the sideline, just kind of staring blankly out there. I mean, it's a bad, bad situation in Detroit right now.
He might be in the situation Bill O'Brien was 3 weeks, 4 weeks in the season where he just needs to be put out of his misery.
Yes.
You just need to put him out of the misery. You need to give Lions fans something to hope for. Mm-hmm. And they need to get in this, in the same situation the Texans are in where you're in this coaching sweepstakes where there's a lot of intriguing names. I also wonder, here on Football Friday, 713-572-4610, I wonder if the Cowboys are going to do the Texans a favor or if they're going to trust the process. Because you saw the Cowboys after the Texans played. They looked lost, 41-16, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of injuries. They've lost four tackles. Starting quarterback. They've had a lot of injuries. But if the Cowboys were smart, and let's hope they're not, mm-hmm. they would just say, thank you for your service, Mike McCarthy. Here's a check. We're going to try to get in this coaching thing, which would stink for the Texans because say what you want about the Cowboys, that's still a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Texans fans need to hope that Mike McCarthy gets at least a second year and isn't a one-and-done guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right because prospective NFL coaches, when they're in high demand, okay, they look at two things at the teams that are courting them, ownership and the quarterback. Texans have the quarterback. Cowboys have the ownership. Say what you will about Jerry Jones, but he opens his checkbook. He's unafraid to make bold moves. He'll cut bait quick, and he'll give you everything you need, you know, to be successful. Plus, you got the star, man. I mean, we don't like to admit it down here, but that is the premier location for a prospective head coach. And especially with that ownership.
You just got to hope they sit out of it.
Yeah.
They just got to sit out of it. There's no way Romeo's back next year, right?
No. No, I, if they keep anybody, I think it'll be Weaver, maybe defensive line coach. That
what about Tim Kelly?
No. God, no. No, Tim Kelly is not going to stay around.
I mean, you're talking about Deshaun being an MVP. Tim Kelly's the one calling the plays,
that's
right?
That's a lot of Deshaun. And Tim Kelly has put him in some better places. But the whole reason we're here is because you weren't giving Deshaun everything you wanted. Now, I get that was largely Bill O'Brien, but you talk about a stink that is still stuck to someone. That's Tim Kelly.
I'm not 100% on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe I'm saying this.
Oh no, I know there's going to be worse than anything you've said today.
Well, I've said a lot of good things today, so that's not really insulting. If they bring in a defensive coach, I wouldn't be shocked if the defensive coach didn't entertain the possibility of just bringing back Tim Kelly.
Come on, man. Come on now.
Where's the screech? Where's the screech on, record?
Man. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying, if you're going to sit here and say, John, that Deshaun Watson's playing like an MVP.
I am.
Then if you bring in an Eberflus or you bring in a Robert Saleh or you bring in a defensive-minded coach.
You bite your tongue.
Okay.
Yeah, you bite your tongue because he still is going to do what Bill O'Brien does. And just because he ran one throwback pass, and I know they've run some more RPOs.
John, you called the guy MVP, bro.
He is.
So why, if you think he's MVP.
Because it's Deshaun Watson. Look at what he's done.
So it's not he can be better. It's more a matter of once he gets a better play caller,
he's
even better.
Look how good Deshaun Watson is playing with just a little bit of help, you know, that he wasn't getting before B.O.B. was fired. Think about how good he's going to be when he gets a lot of help, when a guy that's really going to cater his offense around and is more proven than Tim Kelly.
Surely you got to think during the game yesterday, Bill O'Brien was watching that.
Oh, yeah, I think he's watched every second. Absolutely, every second.
What do you think he thinks when he's watching that?
Well, knowing him.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you know, like.
I think what he's really thinking right now is, see there, my system works. All I needed was a little more time. I think he's justifying his existence with this team, really. Because it is still his plays. It's just Tim Kelly's calling them differently.
I have one request that I think you can co-sign.
What's that?
Please don't let David Johnson play again this year.
He won't. I don't think he will.
Please don't.
Aikens is a better running back than him.
Enron Online will change the markets.
Duke Johnson's better.
Mm-hmm.
That was confirmed.
Right.
ProSize fumbled, but I still like ProSize better.
Yeah.
We've got to not see David Johnson back. Because I really do think when we talk about lingerers and lingering.
Lingerer, man.
Yeah, totally.
Lingerer.
Seeing David Johnson out there is a reminder of smart, tough, dependable BS with no substance.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder of that era. And it's also a guy who's never, ever going to have a significant impact on this team. You should honestly just tell David Johnson, look, buddy, enjoy your offseason gets started a couple months early. Enjoy it. Count that money. We appreciate you. Don't ever come back to this facility again. Don't call us. We'll call you. Give us your address. We're going to ship all the stuff in your locker there as well. And they should send it via FedEx, just a big-ass trash bag of David Johnson stuff to where he never steps on the field again. It's a bad vibe.
It is a bad vibe. It is a bad vibe, and I don't think they're going to need to really make any big decisions. They'll just leave him, you know, injured like they did with Waring last year and most of this year. Just leave him on the side.
Waring was out there yesterday. He does exist.
One play.
He got a target.
One play. Yeah.
You get a target.
He did.
Came out there. Water polo tight end out there. You know.
Nope. You're wrong on that one.
A little behind him. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Boys will be boys. And two guys on the Texans defense. I got three words for you. Come on, man. Next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.